Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the line is Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays 11 to 1, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app.
And here he is, Nick Costos, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Baskin and Phelps, Tom Withers is in today for Jeff. Nick, my friend, how are you?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
We're mild. It's bye week, and the Browns probably had a little bit of an opportunity to be a little better. I know we had this conversation last week. They didn't take advantage of it. All of a sudden, Baltimore wins. Now the AFC North looks a little bit clogged up. But let's start there. What do you think of the AFC North right now, and who do you like to win it?
Yeah, I think at this point it has to be Baltimore, and like it doesn't give me pleasure to say that. Like I have bets on the Steelers from before the season to make the playoffs, and now I'm concerned that's not even going to happen. And just like looking at the balance of power around the AFC, and I'm bringing up the standings right now. So I think it's safe to assume that both the Patriots and the Bills will make the playoffs. Whoever wins the division, right?
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis will make it, right? Mm-hmm. They're 7-1 right now, 3 games clear of first place in the AFC South. So that's 3. Denver will make it, the Chiefs will make it, and I think the Chargers will make it. And that leaves one team in the AFC North. So I think the AFC North is only sending the division champion right now, and I think it's likely to be Baltimore. Let's just go through the Ravens' schedule, right? So okay. Tonight, they're on the road at Miami. Could they lose? Of course, like any team could lose any game in the NFL. But they're more than a touchdown favorite on the road. The betting market says they're more than likely to win, right? So let's assume they win. Next week at Minnesota, they will be probably more than a 3-point road favorite in that game. At Cleveland, more than a touchdown favorite. Home Jets, more than a 10-point favorite. Home Bengals, 6 maybe. Home Steelers, are probably like 7.5 against Cincy. Pittsburgh, you know, somewhere in the range of 6, let's say. At Cincy, going to be favored. Home Patriots, at Packers, at Steelers. They will only be underdogs in one game, assuming health for Lamar Jackson and other players, and that's Week 17 on the road at the Packers. And the thing with the Steelers, their defense is terrible, and I don't think they can fix it. All these old players who are making tons of money, like, they have been lost in all these games this year. And the only games where they've looked somewhat competent were against the Dylan Gabriel Browns, the Carson Wentz Minnesota Vikings, and, you know, we find out he's playing with basically a broken left shoulder. And then they beat the Patriots in Drake May. The Patriots turned it over 5 times in that game, including a couple times on the goal line. They let up 39 points against the Jets or whatever in Week 1. They have been brutal against average offenses this year. How are the Steelers getting over the finish line? And for Cincinnati, I think the Bengals have the worst defense in the league. I'm not willing to hear anyone want to make any case for Cincinnati. I didn't like the Bengals with Joe Burrow at quarterback. I'm not going to like them with Joe Flacco or Jake Browning. So I think by process of elimination, I actually think it's going to be Baltimore that wins the division.
You know what, Nick? I said the same thing yesterday, and as you rattled off the schedule, I didn't realize it, and this is pretty rare. They got 3 straight home games, as you mentioned, with the Jets, the Bengals, and the Steelers. How rare is that to see three straight at home.
Yeah, well, I think, and Tom, it's a great question, and I think, like, we are seeing more of this now
with the schedule
expanding to 17 games. So, like, the Patriots just completed a string prior to last week, obviously, when they hosted the Browns, of three straight road games. So it doesn't happen all the time,
right. But
obviously that is a big-time boon for Baltimore. Three straight home games now with Lamar back. The tough part of their schedule is concluded, and now it's not easy street. Like, they could lose these games,
right. But
they're going to be favored to win all of them except for the one at Green Bay in Week 17. They play the Steelers twice down the stretch. They still play Cincinnati twice. Like, I win money if the Steelers win. I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately, for me.
Hey, let's just stick with the Ravens for 1 second. So they weren't looking great, though, before Lamar went down. So what were their issues, and do you think they can fix them?
So I think that – so I'll answer that question this way. I don't think they can fix them as far as, like, winning the AFC this year. And I never liked them to win the AFC anyway. And here's, I guess this was a hot take when I was saying this, like, 2 years ago. At least I never thought it was. And now I think I'd like to know someone that disagrees with me and my rationale here. The Bills need to fire Sean McDermott and the Ravens need to fire John Harbaugh.
Oh, my.
And it's not that they wouldn't get jobs immediately. And
right.
I'm a Giants fan. Like, I would take one of them as my head coach. But I think we have clearly now, you know, Allen and Lamar were both drafted in 2018. They haven't even been to a Super Bowl. Like, if they are to get there, and I'm not saying it can't happen, I don't think it will, they will be bucking historical trends in the National Football League where you have never had a coaching quarterback pairing been together this long and not even made a Super Bowl, much less win one. They can't beat the Chiefs when it matters. The Bills' defense is terrible, and the Ravens' defense I don't think is very good even when all the good players are playing. So can the Ravens fix the issues to win the AFC North? Like, yes, I think they can. But, like, are they beating the Chiefs in January? Like, absolutely not. So I would kind of split the answer that way. Can they fix it to win the division, a bad division? Yes. Can they ever get over the hump in the AFC? I think absolutely not.
I understand your rationale, but I think you're also discounting the fact that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is the one that's standing in their way. I think you're almost diminishing what both Allen and Jackson have done and what the two coaches have done as well. I mean, that's a pretty formidable obstacle in front of you to block you from a Super Bowl.
Sure. So then I will clarify my statement. Allen and Lamar Jackson are both future Hall of Famers. They have both won MVPs. They are both outstanding quarterbacks. John Harbaugh and Sean McDermott, I think, and Harbaugh's won a Super Bowl, obviously.
Right.
If they got fired, they would get jobs. And I would like for them to coach my favorite team. I'm not saying they're bad coaches. Just that, we've hit the expiration date here. I don't think it's happening. I think everyone could use a change of scenery. And if you asked a Ravens fan if they would rather have Mike McDonald, who's now coaching the Seahawks, was the DC, or Harbaugh, how many of them would say Harbaugh right now? And when it comes down to it, and we're going to see it on Sunday, by the way, because the Chiefs are going to go into Buffalo and they're going to beat the Bills. Like, that's going to happen because Buffalo's defense is terrible. And when we get to January and when the Bills and the Ravens flame out again, do you think that they should sit down and say, you know what? Like, Einstein, we all think he's pretty smart, right?
Yeah.
Like, theory of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Why would they keep running it back if they can never get over the hump?
Hmm.
Like, I don't care how good Mahomes is. Like you can't just accept defeat and be like, you know what? He's really good. We can never beat him. So let's just do the same thing. Try something different.
Mm. Listen to that. All right. The Browns set out, I think, at the beginning of the season at 4.5 was the over-under total for total wins. And I think 4.5 is still what it is. I look at the schedule. I think they can get to 5. What do you think?
So let's see. I will see if I could find here. All right. It's 5.5 for the Browns.
Oh, it's 5.5 now? Okay.
And they have 2 wins, right? The Browns
have two wins.
All right. So here's the Browns schedule.
Ooh, now 5.5 is interesting.
No, we can play this game if you want.
Yeah, play it. So, play it.
All right. At the Jets next week. They could win that game.
Yep. That's 3.
Could win.
Yep.
I don't know if I want to say it's definitely 3, but they could win. Home Ravens, absolutely loss.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Easy.
At the Raiders.
Yeah.
They could win.
Maybe. Okay, that's a could.
They could. Home San Francisco, loss.
Okay.
Home Tennessee could win.
Yeah.
At Chicago, loss.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Home Buffalo, loss.
Yeah, forget about that one.
Home Pittsburgh, probably a loss.
Yeah, they play Pittsburgh well at home, but okay.
Something else to consider, and then at Cincinnati, and they could win that game at Cincinnati. Something else to consider. Who's starting these games at the end of the year for
the Browns?
That's
exactly right.
Yeah, that's the whole
thing. Yeah, that's the whole thing, right.
And I don't want to do like the Shadur can't play thing. Like maybe he's going to be awesome. The reason why, in my opinion, why Shadur is not playing has nothing to do with like what he said in the pre-draft interviews or anything like that. Like you guys will know this because the audience will know this, right? Like I'm talking to a Cleveland audience here.
Yes.
Like you guys all watched, and I watched it too because I'm sick and I love this stuff. The Browns' last preseason game, right?
Yes.
Where Shadur, and I don't remember the team that they played, but Shadur is playing. They're playing the Rams, and they're playing backups. And Shadur, I think, took like 9 sacks in the game and like attempted like 9 passes in a preseason game. That's the reason he's not playing, is because I don't think Kevin Stefanski believes he can run the offense. I think an interesting betting market would be who will start more games this year for the Browns moving forward, Bailey Zappi or Shadur Sanders.
Wow. All right, I like that. Now we have a topic for tomorrow. Thanks. You have any more topics for us? I'm just kidding.
Do I have a topic? I mean,
no, I'm kidding. I want to switch to baseball.
Well, wait, real quick. By the way, I'll take the Bills and the 2.5 points on Sunday against the Chiefs.
Awesome. I encourage you to do that. Good luck.
All right. Can LA come?
I'm kidding.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't encourage
me. I know that. I can smell the sarcasm the other stuff here.
Listen, this is important, right? I'm wrong all the time. I don't want to present myself as... If I won all my bets, I wouldn't be doing this interview.
That's a great point.
I'd live on an island somewhere. I can be wrong about everything I say. I will say, and I think, you know, I've been coming on this show for years. I think I'm pretty measured with the way I say things, right? Nothing's a lock. I can be wrong. I would actually be pretty surprised if the Chiefs didn't win by 3 or more on Sunday.
Gotcha.
And that's about as confident as you'll ever hear me sound about a bet that I make before the game starts.
Hmm. All right, I'm moving to Costovia when you hit the jackpot.
You won't be invited. Be limited guest list.
All right. Can the Dodgers come back and tie this thing up 3? Can we go 7 in the World Series?
So the answer to that question is absolutely yes. And I actually can't believe... Yeah, it's because Yamamoto is like the final boss right now. Right. Like he's the best pitcher in baseball right now, at least the one best pitcher remaining. So the Dodgers right now in Game 6 tomorrow night in Toronto are -140 road favorites. Like I'm actually going to bet that. There's no way, and it doesn't mean that the bet has to win, that Yamamoto against Gausman, I don't care that the game's in Toronto, can only be -140 with the way Yamamoto's pitching. So I do think the Dodgers will win tomorrow night. And as someone who, like, I stand to do pretty well financially if the Dodgers win, I actually think that they will lose Game 7. I don't trust Tyler Glasnow. And what's going to happen is, because Yamamoto's probably going to pitch, like, they want him to pitch a complete game in Game 6. He won't be available. I think Ohtani's going to have to pitch in Game 7. Like, I actually think you're going to see that. You can't put, like, Kershaw in.
No.
You can't trust the bullpen. My guess is it's Glasnow into Ohtani on short rest against that lineup. I actually think the Blue Jays are going to win in 7. And it sucks for me because I bet the Dodgers throughout this entire process. I think those bets are going to lose.
All right, last question, just because the beginning of the NBA season. Thoughts on Cavaliers? Well, I'm not even going to say winning the NBA title. Winning the East. They lost the Celtics last night. And I think it's just – the part of this is I think they're a team that's learning that you don't have to win the NBA title in the first month the way they did last year, that they need to get better. Plus, they're dealing with a lot of injuries. Where do you see the Cavaliers when this thing's all said and done?
Yeah, I think like Cleveland will be like at worst a top three seed in the East, and probably like the one or the two. Like Garland hasn't played, and look, you don't want to lose last night to the Boston Celtics. But I mean, it's early in the season; like they're not fully healthy yet. Like I have immense faith in the Cavaliers to figure it out. Their players are too good. Atkinson's a great coach. I would be stunned if they didn't win 55 plus games. So like zero concern for me with Cleveland. And as far as winning the East goes, I mean, this is a truly terrible conference this year. Truly terrible. Where, you know, like, I'm a Knicks fan. Like, could the Knicks win? Of course they could, because the conference is bad. I mean, how many teams in the West would you take over any team in the East? Like, probably about four, maybe? Like, it's wild.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
And I think the stunning thing to me about the Eastern Conference this year, and like this, and I'll be quick on this because it's not a Cleveland take, like, the Sixers are 4-0 right now. And they've been doing this without Paul George and with Joel Embiid on a severe minutes limit. And Jared McCain hasn't played also. And McCain was awesome last year. Edgecombe looks like an absolute star. Maxey looks like he's taken the leap. Nick Nurse has won an NBA championship already. Now, I'm not saying, like, bet the Sixers to win the East. Like, it's like a parlay, right? You need, like, four things to happen in order for the Sixers to do that. And the biggest long shot leg of that parlay is Joel Embiid has to stay healthy the entire year and be healthy in the playoffs. But I'll tell you. Like, if that happens, and I don't know how likely it is, I have $0 on it right now. I think you could make a case that the Sixers are actually the best team in the Eastern Conference. So I just think, like, that illustrates how topsy-turvy this all is. And the Cavs are probably the team with the highest floor. You could say the Knicks, but, like, they have a new coach now. And I think that lowers the floor, maybe makes the ceiling higher. I think the Cavs are the best bet, like, to win a ton of regular season games. And then for Cleveland, like, you guys know this, right? It's going to be when they get into, like, a big playoff series. Like, are they going to turtle up like they have the last couple years? They're going to be very difficult to trust turtle when up. They get there in those big spots.
Amen, brother. Amen. Say goodbye, my friend.
Wishing everybody Minimal Sweats winning bets. The absolute very best of luck. Go Chiefs.
Thank you, Nick.
You got it.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. For all of your betting and sports talk needs, check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app.
We're going to talk college football, but man, you may have the best college football story I've ever heard there, Dan. Did you hear this? I don't know if you caught it. He just was...
Just a life of scrolling social media, you stumble into these kind of things, and one of them is apparently at Missouri State... They have a couple of windows set up there. You can look out at the urinal and watch the game in the bathroom.
Wow.
Right above.
Interesting.
Engineering.
That is.
I'm trying to think.
That is something.
Plumbing.
There's a hotel in Vegas where I can't remember. There was a bar. It's a bar and it's way up on like the 20th floor. And the restroom is set up the same way.
There's a bar in Columbus that way, too.
I actually think there's a pizza place on the west side that has that, too.
It's funny.
I mean, if you're a diehard football fan, you got to love that, don't you? I mean, I don't want to get into
the problems you could have. And by the way, can I get a black coffee and a side of Nick Costos? That guy's got some energy, man.
Oh, I don't even think he was at full bore today.
Wow.
Do you, Dan? I think he was kind of...
He's going good.
When he first started joining, it's weird. Like, you hear him... Now you're going to notice him when you hear his commercial spots that run for his show.
Gotcha.
Or when you hear him on national stuff, sometimes he's not as amped. He's not as...
he's got a kid now, you know?
Yeah, you know, maybe that's what it
is. That's probably what it is.
That's you know, you're probably right.
You know, I enjoy talking to him, and I was only half kidding about taking the Bills on Sunday because I do think they play well at home, and they're kind of getting themselves together, what have you. I'm not a gambler, Andy. And it's weird when I start hearing, you know, minus 140 and all this, it kind of goes right over my head and I really don't want to know about it.
No, I understand. I'm the same way. I hear it.
I learned a really tough lesson when I was at Ohio State, 1982. I was in a fraternity where we had a bookie who was, you know, able to give us point spreads on players. These were prop bets back in the days. Yeah. So there was a weekend when Virginia with Ralph Sampson was playing the North Carolina team that ended up winning the national championship with James Worthy, Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins, that whole crew.
Yeah.
And the over-under for James Worthy versus Virginia was 16. And he was averaging like right around 20 a game or whatever. So we were all feeling pretty confident that James would get the job done. Everybody basically in the fraternity, and you didn't have any money to begin with, right? So you're making like a $25 bet that you're hoping that comes in. Over under.
So you could go to Mean Mr. Mustard's, what was the
all
other place?
All of them. There was Papa Joe's.
Yeah, but there was another big bar right next door. I can't remember the name. Whatever. No big deal.
Thirsty McNasty's?
I don't know.
Anyway.
No, that,
anyway, so 16 and over. We all bet the over on James Worthy. James Worthy scores 16 points in the first half.
Oh, you're feeling good.
Good to go. We're ordering the kegs, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah.
Goes scoreless in the second half and misses four free throws in the final 2 minutes.
Oh, no.
I was like, I am never betting again. It was one of those, you know, lovable loser stories. Yeah. So, so I'm not a big gambler. Like, you know, when we go to the racetrack, I'll put a couple dollars on a race. And when the Triple Crown comes around, I'll have a little bit of fun with that. But in general, for me anyway, it kind of ruins the experience. Because
you want to believe in the innocence of things too. That's the other.
Well,
part.
That I mean, we all do. Still naive enough to think that that's the case.
Well, think about what happened last week, right?
But I just it bothers me sometimes that so many sports fans that I talk to, and I love talking to passionate sports fans, but they all view the game through the under over, the point spread. How does this affect my fantasy team? It drives me crazy.
Yeah,
I'm old school that way.
Well,
sorry.
It makes you not. My problem that I had with fantasy football and like the folks that just like, I don't care about
obsessed
your fantasy football.
Yeah,
just like over the top. Somebody who is on the show from 10 to 2, not named Baskin, somewhat gets like that about his fantasy teams too, because he loves it. But, you know, that was like when FanDuel first came out, I was on board with FanDuel because it wasn't like, because you could do daily fantasy and you could go in on Sunday and pick your team, you know?
Yeah.
And that was why I enjoyed it at the beginning. It had nothing to do with anything that it has become now.
Yeah.
But that was one of the reasons that I liked it. Because I would.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Traditionally, I'd pick somebody or something, and my team would be a mess in the beginning of the year, and I'd be like, I don't even want this team anymore. And then by the next year, my name was Apathy by week three.
Yeah.
That was the name of my team. And then when the daily stuff started coming around, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. You know, it's like, hey, if I want my team, I can have them. If I don't, I don't have to have them.
Yeah, and no judgment here. I mean, whatever floats your boat. I mean, if people are into it, and I know it's a nice side hobby for people, and it keeps people interested, and you know, it allows people sometimes to get more involved in the NFL because they have a fantasy team and they get to know everybody around.
My bigger problem with the whole thing too is that I don't want to root against the Browns, so I can't. That's where I like. I'm not rooting. I don't care if they don't win a game all year. I'm not going to root against them because I want them to win. You know, so I always find that. That to me is my internal struggle on everything too. It's like I want them to win, and that's at the end of the day. That was the thing I didn't like about fantasy in the beginning. It was like, wow, I'm going to root for a Steeler to do something here. Hey, want to let you know you can listen to this show and all of our shows on the Fan, on the Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Yeah, I know you love college football. I love college football too, especially Ohio State. But
my
I think
my favorite sport.
It has been. I think we've been talking about that for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
The two of us here. I was like, hey, yeah, those Buckeyes. Yeah. I want those Buckeyes. And so I want to go through just this weird twist of fate. And I think, again, it's because of the pressure that is just overwhelming. Think about all the college coaches that have been fired this season alone. Brian Kelly at LSU. By the way, we're going to talk to Josh Booty about some of the stuff coming up. James Franklin at Penn State. Billy Napier at Florida. Sam Pittman at Arkansas. And I'm just starting there. And then I always think it's interesting that you see that Kenny Burns at Kent State, his name's always on this list of coaches that have been fired. I was watching CBS today. I was like, Kent State made the list?
They removed the interim tag, by the way, from their
Yeah, that was yesterday,
today.
Wasn't it?
Was it yesterday?
Was it today or yesterday?
Okay.
I thought it was
Kearney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's done nice. You know, it's been nice to see. I don't care if it's Merrimack or anybody. It's nice to see your alma mater get a couple wins every once in a while.
To your point, Andy, look, the last 3 weeks we've had Penn State, Florida, and LSU fire their head coaches. What is going on here? I mean, the pressure to win, you know, all those guys are getting, what, $40 million buyouts plus. It's incredible. James Franklin will land on his feet somewhere.
For sure.
At some point, right? But, yeah, I don't know what it says about the game. It's, you know, I was, and I'm still a little bit nervous about this Penn State-Ohio State game on Saturday. I don't know why. Maybe the Buckeyes coming off the bye or whatever, and the Penn State kids really having nothing to play for. But, yeah, it's kind of a – kind of a sad indictment on where we're at in terms of the game, right? When you have these big programs making these rash moves during the season. That's the other thing, right? I mean, it'd be one thing for them to wait till the end of the year to see how things flush out and maybe you get on a late winning streak. But I think it was in the wind for both Mr. Franklin and Mr. Kelly here because things have not been going the right way for their fan bases over the last couple of years.
So I did a story a week or two ago with Bill Rabinowitz. Do you know him?
Of course.
Okay, so he's got a new book out too, and this kind of goes to
Buckeye Brotherhood.
Yeah, and you know, he sat down with Ryan Day and did some really like in-depth stuff beyond what we were seeing last year, and about how Ryan was inches away from quitting after the Michigan win. I mean, we're talking about a guy that has the
Michigan loss.
After the Michigan loss, yeah. Well, Michigan win if you're from Michigan. I didn't mean it that way. But that in our conversation and in his new book that's out too, and we're going to actually have him on the show here in a couple weeks, but talking about how Ryan Day was this close to quitting.
Walking away.
Yeah. And, you know, to turn things around and then win the national championship. I just think, I mean, the immense pressure on these coaches is ridiculous. Like, back in the day, it was funny when John Cooper would show up at his house and have a for sale sign in front of it after they would lose. But now, you know, and then we're looking at all these college coaches that got fired over this year.
Yeah.
Our fan base
has gotten irrational with that too, with Ohio State. I mean, it's really gotten, I mean, I know Herbstreit took a lot of flack for the lunatic fringe, but I mean, I know people now that are, even this year with as well as they're playing, are complaining about things. I'm like, my God, they're 7-0. They're number one.
They've given up four touchdowns all year.
They're the defending national champions. They pump out one NFL player after another. What do you want? I mean, you know, if they stumble at any point this season, everybody is going to come out with, you know, slings and arrows again towards Ryan Day, which is completely unfair. I mean, I could argue he's been one of the best coaches they've ever had in school history. I mean, the record bears it out. So
one of the greatest winning percentage, because he doesn't have enough years under his belt.
The best.
Yeah, all time.
All time.
All time.
I know. Want to run him out of town.
They're like, you know.
And I got news for you. If they lose on November 29th, people are going to be irate again, which I think is nonsense. Only because, and we can get into this, you know, the game has changed. The structure of the game has changed. The fact that Ohio State lost two games last year and still won the national championship is like, doesn't seem to make any sense, does it?
I like it.
I'll be honest with you. I love the playoff.
Because I hated the fact that if you lost the first game of the season, I'm trying to remember what, this was a long time ago, but Ohio State lost to
Virginia Tech.
Well, Virginia Tech, they lost to Miami 1 year too in like the first game of the season.
They did, yeah.
It was like kickoff classic. Yeah. And now like you're chasing it the whole year.
Yeah.
And if you don't win or you don't, I do like the fact the Big Ten got rid of the the North and the South, or the leaders and losers, or whatever that thing was. I couldn't stand it. But the fact that now you'll have the two top teams playing.
Did you say leaders and losers?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. It was one of the dumbest. What was it?
Leaders Champions and leaders or something?
No, it was leaders and legends.
Oh,
remember
God.
how dumb that was?
Bad. I was like, yeah, it was bad branding.
And you'll have those top two teams playing for the Big Ten championship, which I think is great. But I also think, you know, if you don't win, like in basketball, hey, man, you could have a horrible season, but if you win that tournament at the end, you've got a chance to be the next. That's why I love basketball. That's why I love college basketball, but in particular, I love March Madness.
Well, and the worry with this system was that they felt like this was going to diminish the regular season. I think in a way it enhances it, Andy, because now you've got, like, look at this, the SEC, where you've got probably a half dozen teams that are still in the conversation, right, to make the playoff tournament, and some of them are 1 and 2 losses. It's going to make those matchups down the stretch like playoff games. I think that's what they want, right? I mean, that's what drives it. And I know there's, you know, this SEC Big Ten bias that there seems to be, and they could end up having, you know, 8 to 10 of the 16 teams, and that's probably not fair. But Ohio State, this format.
Ohio State's not in that game, so I think it's unusual for us. Like, okay, we talk about the Big Ten SEC bias, but Ohio State's like on its own little island. Like, it doesn't. I think the SEC schools are at the
to
point
us that, to us it is.
That we're in that realm, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That, like, it's not, it's a weird dynamic. Like, if you're Indiana and you lose a game, even though everyone respects the you-know-what out of them over the last 2 years,
lose a game,
but they're still in the back of their mind, they're Indiana.
Yeah.
And, down south, they're like, Indiana.
To your point, so if they lose one before the Big Ten championship game, then lose that, and then are suddenly a 10-2 and 11-2, suddenly, how do you stack them up against the number 4 or 5 team in the SEC,
but
right?
When somehow or another, Ohio State broke through all of that.
Long time ago.
Especially because, was it Urban? I think it started with Tressel, and then Urban.
Well, and it helped a year or two that they got picked over TCU and then won the national championship, right? I mean, that solidified that fact that they're kind of on their own little plateau with a few others.
Let's not lie. Right. The bottom line is Ohio State football makes a lot of money for a lot of people, especially those in television.
Oh, God.
There's just no doubt about it. And, you know, the fact that, you know, you look at Ohio State and they have so many noon kickoffs because that's where Fox wants to drag you in the beginning. And, you know,
start the day.
Scrambled
eggs and beer.
Kegs and eggs. Right?
Wasn't that yesterday? Scrambled eggs and beer.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was scrambled eggs and beer yesterday. I forgot about that. I will tell you this, though. Saturday, I'm going to be locked in because you got Ohio State and Penn State going in it. You know, at one point, it felt like that game was going to be absolutely off the hook, gigantic. It's kind of simmered down, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a little smaller than we thought, you know, given the situation at Penn State. Still a big game. Still, I think, a dangerous game for the Buckeyes, to be quite honest, only because, you know, Penn State still got a roster loaded with talent. Those kids would like nothing more than to wreck Ohio State's season. Not wreck it, but at least, you know, get them. You know, Franklin's not there, so
no.
That kind of scares me too, because they've been, you know, I think it's 9 straight wins over them with him at the helm. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I wanted to ask you too, do you like the noon kickoff?
Not really. No.
3:30, I like 3:30 better?
I mean, it's... So I've got some Ohio State postgame responsibility, and I like, even though it's late, I like night games. I like games that start at 8 o'clock. I like that Saturday night
atmosphere.
Feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just something to it. I don't know if it's great for the Columbus Police Department on Saturday nights when they play those games, but I'm not a huge fan of that, of the, I don't know. I don't know why either.
I like getting up, having the game right there. Like, Get my workout in from 10 to 11:30.
I like the CBS game at 3:30. I'm not going to lie.
That's a good one.
I feel like that.
Especially because Danielson's usually doing it, right?
So, yeah. It's just a comfortable time to watch college football.
You've settled in for the day. You got your stuff done. Yeah,
and if you want to do anything in the morning, you want to go to breakfast or something. And then the other thing, too, is like when you're involved in high school football in the early fall, you know, sometimes you want to go watch a JV game on Saturday morning.
Good point.
And so you go watch those games, and then you're like, okay. And then a lot of times, though, those are... Sometimes they're close to ending around noon, and then you end up trickling into watching the noon kickoff. But I just think we're so used to and comfortable with the NFL and 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
and then you know maybe you got the late afternoon game in the NFL. But on Saturdays, it's just what I don't like is the fact you have to find out when Ohio State plays 2 weeks before. Like, please just lock it in?
It's hard on the fans, you know. It's hard on people that have tickets. It's hard on everybody, right? I remember my my aunt and uncle had Buckeye season tickets for 50-plus years, and that was my uncle's weekly rub was like, you know, I don't know how to plan our weekends out, and especially when you get a little older and you're retired or whatever, and you're trying to – and it's actually tougher for people that are working and have family and other obligations. So, yeah, it ain't easy. So, yeah, I'll be – like you, I'll be locked in on Saturday.
Yes.
So I do think, and I was thinking about this morning too, and I just kind of refreshed my memory. Like, you've got Jim Knowles, who was at Ohio State, who's now defensive coordinator at Penn State, and Matt Patricia. Like, I don't think we ever watched him smile like this when he was in the NFL. I don't ever remember seeing him this happy. And by the way, those guys on the Ohio State defensive side of the ball are just lights out. And I don't know, maybe they're going to hit a team that's going to be able to make them bend a little bit more. But that OSU defense, they've given up four. I don't even think they've given up a first quarter touchdown all year. They've only given up.
I don't think it's a first half touchdown.
Is it a first half?
I think they're the only team in the country. Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. They've given up four touchdowns all season long.
Yeah, it's comparable stat wise to the 1973 Buckeye team that gave up 43 points during the regular season and then 21 in the Rose Bowl. So I was talking to Anthony Lima about that earlier today, doing a little Buckeye history. So yeah, it's been great. It's interesting the way Patricia has been using that. I mean, he's smiling a lot, Andy, because he's got five-star talent just about at every position.
Well, I think the offense is, no matter who they're playing, can't figure out the defense because they come up to the line with one look and it's nothing what they expected it to be. And, you know, Texas was talking about that in the beginning of the year.
He's running those NFL schemes that teams are not used to seeing. Well, and he's got in this linebacking core with, you know, with Reese and Styles, two guys that can run sideline to sideline with anybody, that can cover any tight end, and then you bring them up on the line and have them blitz occasionally. Like, you've really got a lot to work with. And in Caleb Downs, let's be honest, you got a guy that can basically play three positions almost on one play, right?
Yeah,
you can have, right? You have him at the safety spot, you have him creep up into almost a linebacker spot, and then you can bring him on the edge and bring him off of one of those defensive ends on a blitz. So they've got it all. I think it's been what interesting to me too, Andy, is the way that they have, rather than rush the quarterback, they really like to contain the quarterback, right? And then they use Reese or Styles to kind of spy the quarterback. So, you know, like they did it against several teams early in the season, especially with Arch Manning, who really had no idea what was coming at him.
None.
And they took away his ability to run, to get out of scrambles, whatever. And then they dial up the pressure when they feel like it's that time of the game. So I think you're seeing Matt Patricia smile because he's got so much to work with there.
Yeah, Mike Lombardi, and I know this is a weird saying, and it seems weird here, but you know, he's at North Carolina now. You know, he's at the Browns. We all know everything and all those things. He said something super interesting, though, in the beginning of the year about being in this general manager position in college. And I think he was comparing the NFL draft to the way you get players in college. And he's like, in the NFL draft, you get seven picks. And if you're wrong, it doesn't matter what round it is. It hurts, and it hurts really, really bad.
Because of the size of the roster.
Yeah.
Because of the,
and in college, say you have a five-star recruit who might be like equal to a first-round draft pick in some ways, if you want to look at it that way. And if that five-star recruit turns you down or wants to go play for somebody else, you just go out and find another five-star recruit. And I found that comparison like really interesting as we look at college football. And you were talking about all these coaches getting fired, but the way to build a college football team now is just so different than it was, I don't know, 5 years ago, even 10 years ago. And you know, Ohio State...
Or a year ago.
Yeah, or even a year ago. I mean, look at Ohio State's roster right now. Yes, I mean, I love the wide receivers. They were all here last year. But, I mean, Julian Sain was watching from the sidelines last year. And, you know, you brought in Howard for a year last year. And then all of a sudden, people look at him as in Buckeye lore now as one of the greatest, you know, or one of the best Ohio State quarterbacks, you know, to lead a team to a national championship, but yet his career really wasn't Ohio State.
No.
You know, Burrow,
K-State,
right?
Joe Burrow. Yeah,
yeah, same thing. And so,
I know.
Is it loyalty? Is it?
No, it's just a different world.
I don't blame them for not.
No.
I'm telling you, if it was my kid and he wasn't playing, I'd want him to go somewhere where he can play.
And to your point, aren't we tracking towards Julian Sain facing Alabama for the national championship? It's got to happen, right? I mean, that's the best story.
The other part of Ohio State's story for me is, and I think Browns Buckeye fans get this. You watch this display of wide receivers on Sunday that is just so difficult to swallow the fact that you can't get guys wide open, and yet Carnell Tate is the number two wide receiver for Ohio State, and if you put a ball anywhere within 5 feet of him, he's able to get it. And by the way, you know, you've got Tate and Jeremiah Smith, who people want to argue is the best wide receiver in the country. And my favorite wide receiver isn't even one of those two guys. It's Brandon Innes.
I like him a lot, by the way.
Who's totally underused, but how can you say that when you've got two of the best wide receivers in the country?
Underused up until now. I thought, and I have said it going into their last game, was that I thought we would see more of him, and you started to see more of him. A little bit of jet sweep, a little bit of, you know, getting the ball quickly, that kind of thing, because that's what's going to be opened up, because defenses are going to obviously try to take away or go shadow, however you want to defend him. They're going to try to take away Smith, which you can't do. And to your point, that leaves Tate wide open. So then Day's got the luxury of going with option number three, a wide receiver. And oh, by the way, they also have one of the best tight ends in the country as well. So
They have like four great tight ends on that team. It's an embarrassment
of riches. It really is. And to your point, and kudos to you for thinking that Bo Jackson would get the run that he's getting this year, pardon the pun. He's developed.
I couldn't believe he didn't play in the Texas game. And it's nothing against Peoples, who, by the way, his dad was a quarterback at Cleveland Heights. I don't know if you know that or not.
Oh, no, okay.
He grew up in San Antonio, but his dad grew up here, and then he ended up coming back up to Ohio. But
gotcha.
It's just like... I couldn't believe that they didn't play Bo in the Texas game, and I'm like, what is going on here?
I think
here?
They just felt maybe... Maybe he was a freshman.
Maybe, I mean, I get it.
They may have felt the stage was too big, what have you.
Well, I also think that Ryan Day has a sense of loyalty, too, because, you know, Peoples and Donaldson were right there, and I remember talking to Antonio Pittman, Ding, right after that first game, and I'm like, Antonio, man, where was Bo today? Like, why didn't he step on the field? And Antonio said back to me, because I thought I was being kind of a Cleveland homer after seeing Bo play in high school for Jeff Rotsky over at VASJ. And I was like, all right, maybe I'm just being a homer on this thing. And Pittman was like, and Pittman said it to me first. He was like, where's Bo Jackson? And I'm like, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Well, now that we've seen him, keep him out there, right?
Oh,
Lamar Bo Jackson, give him the ball as much as you can. He's been great, and I like the way that they got like a rotation of three right now, and then actually they used that West kid.
Yeah,
who we haven't seen any more of. So I mean, the depth that they have, and to your point too about loyalty, Andy, that's another thing that these coaches have to show now to these kids, because
otherwise they lose them at the end of the year.
There you go, right?
You're constantly having to recruit your own kids.
Absolutely,
and I think is just really, really hard. For college football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.